Good morning, everyone. Yesterday, we started the book of Deuteronomy, and in chapter 1, God was reminding Israel of their unfaithfulness, primarily when they were in the desert, to show them that it didn't work well when they didn't trust God, because they're about to enter into the promised land, and God is giving them, going to give them victory. But he wants them to remember to follow him and honor him when they get into the promised land. And that is the main theme of the book of Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law. Before they enter the promised land, they've been waiting 40 years to go. And he's desiring and longing that when they get there, they would not forget about him, but that they would honor him and follow him. And the examples of chapter 1 were there as a reminder. Remember your past. Remember how sin didn't work. Remember how falling away didn't work. Stick with me in the future. And now in chapter 2 and 3, which we're going to cover in brief today, God is now going to remind them of his faithfulness. Because over the past 40 years, they have had many challenges, many obstacles, many nations around them that interfered with their wanderings in the desert as they even head towards the Jordan River to eventually enter the promised land. And God is reminding them of all the things that God has done for 40 years, because it's going to be a courageous thing. It's going to be a scary thing to enter the promised land and have to defeat the enemies that are there. And God's wanting them to see, look, I was faithful to you. I helped you. Everything went the way that I had intended. And I'm going to be with you when you enter the promised land. So even despite the waywardness of the things we've talked about in chapter 1 that you did, remember how I've been faithful to you. And now go, for I will be with you again. Even despite your past waywardness, I'm going to be with you to give you victory. They needed strength. They needed courage. They needed to be able to trust in God. I want to give you some samples of what happens in chapter 2 and 3. Again, looking back at the past, you know, of the 40 years, that's where we're at. So at one time in verse, pick it up in verse 4, the second half there, it says, "You will pass through the territory of your brothers, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be careful, very, very careful. Do not provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land, even as a little as a footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money, so that you may eat, and you shall also purchase water from them with money, so that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked a thing." And it's reminding them, listen, when you needed water, I gave you water. When you needed bread, I gave you bread from the sky. When you needed food, I gave you quail. You have not lacked a thing for 40 years, although you lived in a desert. Think about that. You lived in a desert, and I still was able to provide for you. But he's also telling them, you know what? I gave Esau this portion of the land, not the promised land, but this portion where they were now. And he's saying, you know what, you don't need their land. I give it to him. And remember, I have provided for you this entire time. Moving forward to verse 14 of Deuteronomy, he refers to another time when they were at Kadesh Barnea. He says, "Now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zered was 38 years. He mentioned, you know, that whole time in this specific region here, you were there 30 years until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. Moreover, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from within the camp until they all perished. So it came about, verse 16, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, today you shall cross over Air, the border of Moab." So he's saying, you know what, I intentionally, you know, let you guys be there for 38 years because you guys were unfaithful. And even after the spies went out and I and I told you, you're going to wait for, you know, 40 years in this desert. And they said, nah, well, they took matters into their own hands. You might recall that from previous parts of the story. And they said, no, we'll go fight now. And God's like, I'm not with you to fight right now. I told you, you're going to have to wait in the desert because of your unfaithfulness. I'm going to take your children over when they grow up. That's the generation that I'm going to take into the promised land. But the people wouldn't listen, and they went on their own merit, and the Lord allowed them to be defeated. And what he's showing them here in this reminder of that past event, he's saying, listen, when I told you to, what I was doing, you didn't go. Then you went on your own and it didn't work out. Trust me. Trust me now, because I'm telling you, you can go. You are now going to enter the promised land. And this time I'm with you and I'm telling you to go. And you've seen all that I've done. You can trust me. Don't do your own thing, but follow the Lord your God, and he will give you victory. He's reminding them of his faithfulness. In verse 36 of chapter 2, he says, from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, from the city which is in the valley even to Gilead, there was no city that was too high for us. The Lord our God delivered all over to us. Only you did not go near to the land of the sons of Ammon along the river Jabbok and the cities of the hill country and wherever the Lord our God had commanded us. He's reminding them again of another victory that where God delivered them. And he's also reminding them there's an area where he told them not to go. And if you just would go where the Lord God has commanded you in the past, in the past 40 years, if you would do and when you did what the Lord commanded and I provided for you, and when you didn't, then you were destroyed or you had problems. And now I'm telling you that you're going to be able to go to this promised land, and I'm going to be with you. And just like I was with you in the past, I'll be with you again. Chapter 3, that says, then we turned. These are all just a recount of what happened in the past. Then we turned and went up the road to Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with all his people, came out to meet us in the battle of Edrei. So a big battle that they had while they were wandering in the desert. But the Lord said to me, do not fear him, King Og, or his people, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand, and you shall do to him just as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered Og also, king of Bashan, with all his people into our hand. And there again, God is reminding them of how he provided them when someone came out to battle against them. And then in verse 21 of chapter 3, it says this, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So the Lord shall do to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them. For the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. Hallelujah. What a word. You've seen what I've done. Do not fear what I'm asking you to do now and going into the promised land. For the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. Hallelujah. You know, we're not being asked right now to, in this season, in this church age, to conquer our enemies through military battles. We're not being asked to take someone's land. God is working in a different way now. He said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Go make disciples of all nations. We're not doing what God was doing in the Old Testament. Now we're trying to win the world to Jesus. And the Lord our God is with us. And the thing, like, listen, when God wanted them to have victory, they had victory. When God wanted them to be punished for their waywardness, they were punished for their waywardness. What that means is God's going to do what he's going to do and the plans that he has for us in the future. The plans to come back and reign for a millennium. The plans to bring a new heaven and a new earth down out of heaven for his people. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to take you to the place that I prepared for you. You know, John 14, 1 through 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to be faithful to us. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, he has heaven awaiting for you. He has future kingdoms for us to reign in, and you can trust God. And when things go bad, just wait on the Lord, trust in Him, even amidst the valley, even amidst the storm, because the Lord our God is going to do what He said He was going to do. He did it all through the Old Testament, and He's going to do it for us too. That doesn't mean that we're not going to face difficult times. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be times in history where it's like, you know what, it doesn't seem like God is in this moment doing what we would like, or He's not quite yet fulfilling His divine destiny for the future. And there can be seasons where we're waiting on God to do what He's going to do. But in the end, God is going to bring about what He's promised in the scripture. Do not fear, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. These chapters end with something interesting because, you know, Moses, because he was part of this group of people, and even problems that sometimes Moses had, Moses was not going to get to enter the promised land. Joshua was the one that was going to lead people in. And listen here, Moses even pleaded because he wanted to go. He wanted to see the promised land. So this is how chapter 3 ends. I, Moses, also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, "O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, 'Enough, speak to me no more of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes to the west.'" He's going to let him have a mountain view of the promised land. "To the west and the north and the south and the east, and see it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of his people, and he will give them as an inheritance the land which you will see." So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Isn't that interesting? So Moses was allowed to go up and get a mountain view, but he was supposed to just trust God, even though he wasn't going to be able to go. And he was supposed to encourage and help Joshua to be prepared to lead the people into the promised land. Isn't that interesting? One of God's greatest followers, one of God's greatest leaders, and even him was not able to go into the promised land. But you know what? Moses accepted that, and Moses is going to die on this side of the Jordan River. But God was still faithful to Moses. And you know, sometimes life doesn't always turn out exactly how you would want or how I would want, but yet God is still God, and He's still doing and going to get done what He said He was going to do. And we got to trust Him with our lives and with our eternal life, even when this life might not go or turn out, or things that we desired in this life may not happen the way that we thought. But nonetheless, He is God, and nonetheless, He had promises for Moses, promises for Joshua, and promises for us. And you know what? God doesn't need to do any more here on earth for me to believe in Him. He's already done enough. May I trust in God all the way to the end, no matter what my lot here in this life is. And in the end, hallelujah, He'll be faithful in the heavenly places and ages to come. Hallelujah. God has done so much in the past. We can trust Him. And even when we don't see what God is doing, sometimes moment by moment, we can trust Him for the plans for the future. God bless you all.